to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
If he was playing here all those times, he'd have a bunch more hits.
Right.
Here's a swing at a high fly ball, deep left field. Beck is back at the track, at the wall. He's out of room. And Trey Turner goes deep to left, his third home run of the season. And just like that, the Phillies are back in front. It's 3-2.
Well, I got to credit multiple people on the Trey thing. Good morning to you, by the way.
Are people still hating on Trey in this room?
Well, so I'm coming your way, Ruben. Hang on. So
who's still hating on us?
I'm not totally Rhea? Involved. Yeah, you can come right to me, Rhea. Ruben. You know it.
Here I come.
All right, so credit to Trey Turner. Credit also to that Amaro, Ruben guy, because he was calling this. And, Rube, I thought it was poppycock. I thought you were talking out of your hiney.
The man can hit, okay? And he started hitting the ball the other way. He got his groove on, and now he's driving the ball the whole program, stealing, running.
Yeah, he's playing good.
His game's coming on, and he's playing a little bit better defense. Not going to be perfect, not going to be Jimmy Rollins ever, but he's an offensive force when he's going, and he's going.
He's going. He is. So hopefully Jahad Campbell gets it going for many years with the Eagles. He's going to join us in about 5 minutes. Ray Diddy was on Seth Joyner's show recently, talked a lot about Jahad Campbell. And one of the things, of course, and we'll get into this with Jahad in a few minutes, what position he expects to play. Here's Ray on the position. Because remember, the night he was drafted, a lot of us thought he's inside linebacker guy. And like, oh, wow, Eagles broke trend. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. Actually, they might use him as an edge rusher, or maybe they use him as both. Here's something Ray said recently.
Where will the Eagles use him? I think their biggest need coming into the draft was probably edge rusher. You know, because you lose Sweat, you lose Graham. I think you needed to fortify the edges, and I think he can be that. You know, I think he can put his hand on the ground and be an edge rusher. But I also see him in the hands of a creative coach being a multidimensional kind of guy that you can move all around the defense, much in the way, almost like a Micah Parsons kind of player. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think if you look at the way for what the Cowboys drafted him to be, and for how they utilize him now, it's very, very, very different. I mean, I think they drafted him with the idea he was going to be one thing, and then they saw all the things that he could do, and now he's all over the field making plays. Campbell, to me, is a similar kind of player.
Looking forward to talking to him, John, and obviously great versatility there. And, you know, Vic Fangio's – it'll be fascinating to see in the coming months and then ultimately the coming years how they utilize him. Because yeah, they got a lot of possibilities what they can do right there.
You've seen with Micah Parsons, he's lined up really everywhere on that defense. Not at corner back, but everywhere except corner.
Yeah, it's mostly go get the quarterback. With Micah Parsons, it's mostly
either edge, he'll be either D tackle, he'll be any of the linebacker spots on or off the ball, and he'll certainly be in the slot. He'll be, you know, safety positions. So, yeah, we have lots of options, and it's exciting. I can't wait to talk to him about what he likes to do the most.
Absolutely. Well, look, big double wins yesterday in Philly. I mean, one was big, one was small. So, big win by the Eagles, obviously, with the tush push. That's a big win by the Birds. And then, obviously, the Phillies get another win. It's six in a row. They're playing great. You survive a Taiwan game, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, because, you know, obviously, Taiwan is the least of the Philly starting pitchers, but you win a Taiwan game, which is always a good thing. Bats have been slugging like crazy lately. So just an outstanding job by the Phillies lately and an absolutely phenomenal day by the Eagles yesterday. Jeffrey Lurie and Jason Kelce going into that room and winning that vote with the owners. I think a really big-time win by the Birds, which really could, in my opinion, net them an extra win or two. You know, the way I've looked at the Eagles the last couple of years, I think the tush push, I really mean this. I think the tush push, because the Eagles going for fourth downs in the second quarter and the third quarter, I think it really helps the Eagles get an extra win or two, which we know can be the difference, not only to make the playoffs, but have home field advantage. I think it was a great job by the Birds yesterday. All right, 215-592-9494, your chance to react to all of this. Jahad Campbell, Eagles rook, is going to join us coming up in 1 minute. You'll hear from Jahad Campbell in 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about let me tell you about PI Dental Center. It was great seeing Dr. Wolfinger yesterday. He was here at the WIP studios getting his photograph taken with the Lombardi trophies, as we had a great celebration, obviously, with what the squad accomplished, and a lot of our advertisers in here with not one but two Lombardi trophies on display. Look, PI Dental Center, they're awesome. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, and I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades, my mom a patient for 3 decades with Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic big-time transformation in a mere 1 day. If you are struggling with your teeth, perhaps major pain, or maybe you just don't like the way you look and it becomes a self-esteem issue, well, know that help is there for you, and that help is called PI Dental Center. Get yourself there. They're located in Fort Washington. Start with their website, PIDentalCenter.com. Visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. Well, John, you and I have been doing this show for a long time, obviously in the mornings, prior to that midday, and it's always fun to talk to an Eagles rookie, first-round pick in particular, and of course, a player as talented as Jahad Campbell, who just a couple weeks ago went in the first round of the draft.
With the 31st pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jahad Campbell, linebacker, Alabama.
Love it. And we welcome Jahad for the first time to our program. Jahad, good morning and congratulations, man.
Good morning. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You know, Jahad, I can't – if we did this the day after the draft, I'd say to you, welcome to Philly. But I can't really say that because you've been here for a month. So let's talk about that month, man. What has the first month for you as a pro? You haven't played in a game yet, but you've been in the facility. You've been around some of the guys, the coaches. What has the first month as a Philadelphia resident and Philadelphia athlete, what's it been like for you to be a pro?
You know, it's just been amazing. You know, just being around all the other rookies and, you know, all the other vets, you know, just understanding, you know, what they do in their day, you know, to keep them going, to, you know, maximize every opportunity that I have. And, you know, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, just keep the main thing and always stay focused. So.
Mm-hmm. What aspect of playing defense do you enjoy the most?
The aspect, I like this question. I would say like just knowing that you just got a third down stop and now they got to punt the ball. And now I can celebrate with my team. I think that's the biggest. That's like one of like the biggest and best moments being a defensive player.
What are you best at as a defender?
What am I best at?
Yes.
I mean, I think I can, you know, do it all. You know, I feel really confident in, you know, my play style, and, you know, I'm just really appreciative of the Eagles selecting me, you know, so I can be a part of their organization and, you know, fit right into this defense.
Jahad Campbell, of course, an Eagle now, and he's going to be out there in this season for the Birds. So, Jahad, you're joining a heck of a squad, man. A couple months ago, when you're still at Bama and the Eagles play in that Super Bowl, what were you thinking watching that game? I mean, you didn't know you were going to be a Bird. And you probably
I was already thinking W. I was a fan.
Oh, that's
well,
true.
Well, how does that feel?
Yeah, how does that feel?
Just to add a little caveat, the team that drafted me, Jahad, they won 4 games. And so you get to kind of skip that line. How does that feel?
I think, you know what I'm saying, I think it was really just all guys playing, you know, just trusting in this process, trusting in this journey, you know,
Jahad Campbell with us here. Jahad, by the way, your phone's breaking up a little bit, so if you can move 5 feet to the left or 5 feet to the right, maybe that'll get it better. I don't know if that's possible. We got you a little better right there. Absolutely. So how are you feeling physically? Obviously, you would not have gone with the 31st pick if the league viewed you as fully healthy. How's your body feel these days?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, just making sure that, you know, I take the right recovery steps. And, you know, I'm just taking care of my body and, you know, talking to, you know, different vets to see, you know, like what they do and their plan. And also, you know, with the training staff and, you know, just helping me out, understanding how to recover my body the best.
Do you think you'll be a full go for training camp? Do you think you'll be a full go for the start of the season? Do you project to be ready to go when those two things happen?
I mean, right now I'm just, you know, just staying where my feet at. Just taking it day by day. I don't like to look too far ahead, because I can just pass by these days. So I think, you know, the biggest thing for me right now is just staying where my feet at and, you know, just trying to maximize today, honestly.
How much have you had a chance to interact with the veterans?
Quite a bit, you know what I'm saying? Just a lot of good group of guys. They're very interesting and funny, too. You know, so, I mean, it's an honor being here.
Which teammate has come in with the craziest stories?
Which teammate has come with the craziest stories?
Yeah. I mean, is there anyone that sticks out?
I think time is going to serve itself with that more. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
More, you know, quality time with each other.
You know, speaking of teammates, Shahad, just make sure in training camp, if Nick puts the pads on, no smack and Saquon there. I mean, I know you got to make an impression, but, you know, ease up on that guy. So, all right, so let's talk some defense here, Jihad. Obviously, you got versatility. Do you have a sense yet from Vic Fangio where he's most likely to play you? Do you think it's going to be an off-ball, more inside linebacker type, or more of a go-hunt-the-quarterback edge rusher?
I mean, you know, so the whole reason why I came here was to, you know, be an absolute defensive player, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, you know, like wherever strategically wise, wherever I can fit it on a defense and, you know, potentially, get to play and, you know what I'm saying? And just, I mean, move from there and, you know what I'm saying? Play with the other guys that's on the team and just learn from them and, you know, just keep getting better at it. So,
I wondered. I played fullback, it was hard. Like, if I worked on one aspect of my game, other aspects would sort of fall by the wayside. You know, if I was working on my pass protection, sometimes, you know, the pass catching would get worse. How do you balance? There's a lot of skills that you are good at defensively. Yeah. How do you balance learning pass rush moves with the off the ball linebacker, you know, like the drops and all that stuff? There's so much that goes into your game. Yeah. How do you balance all that?
I think the biggest thing for me, though, like personally, was, you know, just like when I was younger, like I was always playing receiver. So having that like elusive skill set and, you know, like just being able to, you know what I'm saying? Like just have like those basketball movements on the field, I think that helped me tremendously a lot in my career. And
you played basketball also?
Yeah, I played basketball when I was younger. So, I mean, you know.
You good?
Now, then moving to defense. Yeah, of course.
Exactly right.
That's awesome.
I'm a walking
What question is that?
My bad.
All right, Jihad, your favorite basketball player growing up, who was it?
Favorite basketball player? Oh, man. Jeez. See, at one point it was Russell Westbrook, and that was when he was at OKC.
He was amazing.
I thought the same thing,
man. That was Joe's favorite player.
He was.
For a little bit of time.
I realized he's always out of control, but I loved him.
He's still thugging in the league right now. But
he still thinks he's that player.
He does.
But he contributes. He contributes off the bench, man. He's been good.
But he contributes bricks and turnovers also.
Yeah.
All right, Jihad, how about your favorite football player growing up? So you grew up an Eagles fan. Who was, like, your main guy?
My main guy growing up?
Yeah.
Eagles had a great group of guys. I would say probably – offensively, I love watching LeSean McCoy highlights, DeSean Jackson play.
Yep.
And I would say on defense, probably B-Doc, honestly. Yeah. Like,
it's the correct answer.
He's keeping it thematic, all Eagles.
Yeah, he's not even a human. I don't know.
That's so true.
He's not human. He's my teammate.
So, Jihad, one more for you here, bud, and we appreciate some time with Eagles rookie Jihad Campbell. So, being an Eagles fan thing growing up, you know, we touched on it earlier, but your phone was breaking up a little bit in that range. What is it like to be drafted by the team that you loved growing up? That you know, 3 months ago, as a Bama guy, you see the Eagles win the Super Bowl, you join all that. What's that like?
I mean, you know, it was an honor, really, you know, just to come to, you know, a team that's a winning program, and I just came from that, which was Alabama. So, I mean, my mindset just fits right in with, you know, my whole style of play and, you know, my whole just journey of life. So I'm really excited, and, you know, I just, you know, keep going to get the work.
Good stuff, man. Well, Jahad, the city of Philadelphia and Eagles fans are very excited as well and wishing you, obviously, the best of luck with a great career, long career, healthy career, and a lot of sacks. So good luck, bud. And again, thank you for joining the program today. Good luck with the offseason program, and we look forward to seeing you in a few months.
Have you had a chance to get cheesesteaks in you yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good ones?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got a lot of good places. Angelo's is good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got to hammer those. All right.
For sure.
Good deal.
Hit him hard.
Jahad, stay well, bud. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jahad.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You got it, pal. All right, there he is, Eagles rookie.
He was super personal.
Oh, well, you could tell that on draft night.
You could. Yeah but he's a good talker, man. That was funny.
You could say it. All right, 215-592.
The basketball thing was great.
Well, dude, so I thought
he's like, of course I am.
What football player didn't play basketball? I mean, maybe a quarterback, maybe.
A lot of them.
Oh, come on, man. If you're an edge rusher.
There are a lot of football players who wrestle.
You're like a small forward in basketball in high school,
man. That's so true.
I mean, come on. Rube, did you play hoops growing up?
I was not very good. Short Mexican guys, you know. We're not the best basketball players.
Has there ever been a Mexican in the NBA?
I can play D. Oh, yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
Who's a Mexican that played in the NBA?
They had a couple of guys at Stanford, like two brothers, I think, or two. I wanted to say they were twins. And I think that one of them ended up playing professionally. I can't remember.
I don't remember that. All right, Rube, let's do a quick Phil check-in and then right back to the phones, because we got all these topics on the table. And the Tush Push is
the Collins brothers?
What? No, that wasn't the Collins brothers, I don't think.
Jason and Jaron Collins?
They were twins, but there was another.
Yeah, but they weren't Mexican.
There have not been that many, just Googling it quickly.
Not like Mexican.
Juan Toscano Anderson might be the most famous. No.
All right, Rube, the Phils. Yep. They're playing great. I mean, they're like, so I said at the beginning of the year, great team. Then I'm like, all right, I got to back off this. But now it's like, no, they're actually what I thought they were. The first time I'm declaring it in a month. They're a great baseball team. They might not win the World Series. There's normally five or six great baseball teams in a year, and four or five of them or six of them don't win the World Series. But, Ruben, we have a great baseball team.
We have great pitching staff as far as their starters are concerned.
Clearly.
Really, really good starting pitching, and that gives you a chance to win every night. I'm a broken record when it comes to that. But I think what you're seeing now is sort of like the development of what they were trying to do from the beginning of the season as far as making, you know, good swing decisions and putting the ball in play. And now it's sort of developing into now we're driving the ball. Now we're getting our extra base hits. Now we're coming up with big base hits when we need them. And all of that development is a really positive thing. You know, the folks that believe that these guys can't make adjustments and be better when it comes to making those swing decisions and strikeouts and that kind of thing, I think that they're seeing that these guys are a lot better at being able to adjust, and they're showing how to get it done.
Yeah. All right, one more and then right to the phones. Ruben, are you as confident in Aaron Nola coming through his struggles as you were entering the season, that Trey Turner would come through his, that you were 3 weeks ago, that Bryce Harper would come through his, or on the Nola thing is a little shaky?
I think Nola's going to end up being like a solid number three or four, and that's who he is. That's all they need.
Which is a lesser pitcher than he used to be.
A little bit lesser, but I mean, you can, after all the mileage he's got
I mean, it happens.
You know, his durability has been amazing, and the fact that, he had this ankle issue, I think that's important, because I saw some of the velocity jump up a little bit before he got the ankle issue, and hopefully that's one of the reasons.
Good. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Everything going on, the Tush Push, the main thing, the Phil success, another. Something Jerry Jones said yesterday after the Tush Push vote, we'll get to that. Let's go to Derek in Paoli. Derek, good morning.
What's going on, gang?
Man,
hi, Derek.
An awful lot.
Listen, I'm calling to talk to you specifically, though, Jeff. You got to get it together, because you were scared of Ike yesterday, man.
I'm scared of Ike.
You embarrassed. You embarrassed.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. This deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go. taco to go. $2.99
Harris, the morning show with that debate. Oh, bro. No. Bro, you want soft, man, and you my guy. You want soft.
Man. Wait, Derek, no. This is disappointing news to hear that. The whole show.
What am I got to scream?
You embarrass the show's
performance.
So let me just say this, Derek. Bro. Before you hold on, Derek, before you keep going, for those that missed this, the assignment was to address whether I think Saquon Barkley had the best season in Philadelphia sports history. Now, when our program director approached me, my first thought was, I don't want to do that. Because first off, I had to think about, do I think he had the best season ever or not? That's number one. Wasn't sure how to think about it. Number two, who wants to take on the grenade of like saying Saquon was not number one? But when I thought about it, I realized Wilt Chamberlain, number one, and I can say that, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And I said it, I thought, well, and Ike just has a tendency to talk long and loud. That's not my fault.
You could have came a little bit.
Derek, all I had to say, and I did, and everyone told me I lost the debate, and that's fine. That's people's choice. All I had to say was this: Wilt Chamberlain in a season averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds per game. I don't know what more I need to say.
Yeah, they changed rules for.
Like if I lose the debate because I go 50 and 25, that's on the dumb idiots that voted on the debate. That's not on me.
You screaming?
Yeah, no, I'm screaming. I'm showing you how when you scream, you can.
You should have been screaming at Ike yesterday when he wasn't saying nothing.
You're saying
he was just sitting there
Joe
like,
was afraid, Derek?
Is scared that, of is Ike? That where you're I think starting? Is the takeaway in the room. Like, got scared of Ike.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
so
hey,
why did you think moment, Joe was maybe, afraid?
Hey, I think he needed some backup in there, Woody. Man, I think Rhea would have took Ike down. You know what I'm saying? Joe was in that joint, backpedaling a little bit.
Was I wrong though, Derek?
You just could have came a little bit more, man.
A little harder. Okay. Saying,
yeah, Joe, you know what the problem was? Jolly was so unhinged in his debate about a half hour before or whatever that anything after that, there is a let. Anybody who hasn't heard it, it was off.
So I want to play some of that audio. Derek, give me what your thoughts are on the Tush Push, man.
The Tush Push, man, there's a lot of hype about it. I think the Eagles were going to be good with it or without it, but. You know,
that is true.
It is.
But we are much better with it.
Better.
I don't think it's multiple games better. I think it's multiple plays.
I think it's at least one or two victories. I believe that. They convert instead of punts.
I see how you've gone down from 2-3 to 1-2. Did you notice that? You said 2-3 to start the show.
No, I said maybe 3. I said maybe 3.
Yeah. Debbie said 2-3, though, and now you're down to 1-2.
Yeah. 3 is that's what 2-3 is.
No, you started at 2-3 wins, and now you're down to 1-2 wins. That's my point.
Gonna be about I think I said 1, 2, or 3. I think you're misquoting me here. Okay. Derek, give me an answer.
Next week is 5.
What? Derek,
what? Ruben, you were thinking about the Lopez brothers, but I don't know if they're Mexican or not.
That's the Lopez. That's right. Yes. They may not be Mexican.
Yeah, they are not Mexican.
Yeah, they may
Robin
not be Mexican.
Brooke
they're
Lopez,
definitely not.
You were thinking of, you know what
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's...
But my answer for the plot twist is, you ever see the movie Get Out?
Oh, that was said yesterday also. All right. 2 days in a row, Get Out gets said.
Good one.
All right.
I don't know if that's as big a plot, but because you know something weird's happening. Yep. You know
waiting
what I mean?
For it to
you're
revealed. Waiting,
you're
more
like
than
expecting it more. Yeah, exactly.
So I want to play this audio with Jolly. Now, we're not going to play the whole thing because it's too long, the
it
whole
was
thing.
So
but,
entertaining.
But Jolly squashed Spike. And he had all reason to squash Spike because obviously, I mean, John, the thing was, is Daryl Morey a good GM?
I mean, come on.
Like, what are we doing here? I'm not going to play anything Spike said.
Thank you.
Because anything in support of Daryl Morey as a good GM is nonsensical. What I will play is the opening salvo from Paul
Spike
Jolitz.
Was Spike aware that it was, like, nonsensical?
No, he believes
he
it.
Spike truly believes it.
He believes
Spike
it.
Is a big Daryl Morey believer.
It's such garbage.
Well,
it's
no,
such
he
garbage.
Is. He's a big Daryl
yeah,
Morey
does.
Believer.
He does believe it, John. He does.
I wouldn't say believer. I'd say deranger.
But what I want to play is I was proud of Jolly. As a Sixers fan, as a Philadelphia resident, I was proud of our own Paul Jolovich crushing Spike yesterday and speaking truth to non-power. Let's listen to Jolly yesterday just lambasting Daryl Morey.
Daryl Morey was hired in 2020 after doing nothing with the Houston Rockets except coddling James Harden for 14 years. Nothing is worse than winning in the regular season without being to translate that to winning in the playoffs. Daryl did that very well. When he was hired, he decided to trade Ben Simmons, not for Tyrese Halliburton, who he could have had by many sources, including mine, But James Harden, the most useless athlete in the history of professional sports, total loser, was a loser then, is a loser now. That started his record. Didn't create anything around Joel Embiid. Yeah, he drafted Tyrese Maxey and Jared McCain. Nobody bats zero. He's hitting about .087. Smug to the fans. AI, who cares? Loses. Never took a team anywhere. Re-signs Joel Embiid 2 years early for absolutely no reason. Goes after Paul George for absolutely no reason, which I said before then. You want an old guy that does nothing, never won, to come here, declining in every way? Sure, let's sign him to a $200 million a year contract. He screwed the fans of this team. He talks about squinting. Squinting is why I would think anybody would look to see why he should keep his job. He's a loser. He's always been a loser. He'll always be a loser. He may not be a dummy. He's not a dummy IQ-wise. No common sense. Has taken the Sixers nowhere. Doesn't win.
I was so proud of him. I was so proud.
He got Spike so angry.
I was so proud.
He's outstanding.
It's great work by Jolly.
I love the little drop in too. He's like, according to all sources, including mine. I love him just dropping that in there. It was so hilarious.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Up ahead shortly, we'll get to some of the highlights from the Phils game last night. There were a lot. Phils clobbering the Rockies in this series. And something really interesting that Jerry Jones said after the vote yesterday on the tush push. That up ahead soon as well. Corey in Pottstown right now. Corey, good morning.
Hey, guys. Real quick, the Hard Knocks that they have with the Buffalo Bills, I think they should do a Hard Knocks on their owners' meeting.
Well,
considering how our owner went off of those guys.
They ain't going to let that happen.
No, they're not.
They ain't going to let that happen.
Yeah.
No, I know they're not. Real quick, I am a proponent of all four of our sports teams. I love all four of our sports teams. But I will say this. I watched that Pacers game last night and the Dallas Stars game. Our teams are nowhere near that level.
Correct.
Nowhere near that level. Yeah. Those two playoff games were exciting as they can be.
You mean your basketball team, not all teams, are not at that level.
The Sixers and the Flyers are nowhere near where those teams showed last night.
There's no question. I mean, there's nowhere near where the Eagles show, and they're nowhere near what the Phillies show. I mean, the bottom line, Corey, is right now, you know, it was Charles Dickens that famously wrote A Tale of Two Cities. Right now, we have a city with a tale of two different types of teams. We have two great teams, and we have two lousy teams.
Could not be more opposite sides of the spectrum.
It's what it is. Now, listen, if the Sixers get a healthy Embiid or somewhat healthy Embiid, they could climb back to .500 or better. They could. I mean, you know, we should acknowledge the Sixers made the playoffs 7 straight years until this past year. So it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the Dana Barish years when they're missing the playoffs every year. But with that, and I'm not blasting Dana Barish. He was the best player on that team. But you get my point. I mean, right now, it's a debacle. It's a total freaking debacle.
As far as the tush push, because I have to say, Joe, you actually said something, and for you to bring this up and other teams in the NFL not to know it, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, it's true. I thought about it. The Eagles always do go to the left on the tush push. I mean, if they're going to do anything different and knowing that teams are going to try to stop it, they need to mix that up and start going right a couple of times. And
I disagree with that. Corey, here's the deal. I said this earlier. Let me say it again. I think it is the key to the whole tush push thing moving forward for the league. There's a lot of people saying it's about trying to stop the Eagles. It's not, because they won't. It's about the other 31 teams' offense trying to do what the Eagles do. They're not going to stop the Eagles. Not.
I watched the tape yesterday of how Jacksonville stopped them, and Jacksonville stopped them because they put their bigger guys on that left side. And that's where the Eagles were going.
Well, that's one technique you should do. But you know what I'm saying? If the other teams stop it 5% of the time, and that's about what it's been, that's not stopping it. You know, that's just the 1 in 20 play where you actually win it. But that's so freaking rare. I really think it's about whether other teams can perfect it offensively the way the Eagles have. Now, if other teams do, then it will get zapped out of the league, because the league's not going to want all those tush pushes. But look, it was a tremendous win by the Eagles yesterday. It really helps them for this upcoming season and maybe beyond. Corey, 4 Phillies tickets, which are on the line today, in honor of the tush push being a plot twist yesterday that was at least a surprise, if not a shock for most, from movies or TV shows, what was a great plot twist?
one of my three favorite movies of all time, The Usual Suspects.
Big time. Big time answer. Knew it was going to be coming from someone, and it was only a matter of time.
Kaiser so say.
Yeah. Phenomenal answer. So speaking of answers, you can weigh in on the Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two different polls, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. We will, as always, remind you, do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer. Start at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question today. Were you more surprised or shocked that the tush push stayed legal? Ruben, what would be your answer on that? More surprised or shocked?
Neither. I wasn't surprised.
Okay, you expected it?
I expected them to
win the vote?
To win the vote, yes.
I did not.
I
John,
did.
You did not. You and I thought they might win it.
I said they had a chance to keep the tush push.
Yeah, saying they have a chance, yeah.
I didn't expect that it was a done deal.
I thought it was definitely gone.
I didn't think that, but I didn't think, I mean, to me.
I'm shocked.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Surprised or shocked?
Shocked. I was shocked when I saw it.
All right, so look, we'll see where that vote goes. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. The other poll question today, do you consider the tush-push vote a major or minor offseason win for the Eagles? I consider it a major victory. I think it will lead to a win or two. Maybe three. Maybe. Like I said earlier, and I feel bad dragging this guy in because it's shrapnel he doesn't deserve. I said earlier, I think it's a big deal. Than if we found out Reed Blankenship was out a year and you didn't have a service.
You didn't have to drag him in. You drag him into that, you know?
All right, I'll give you
a
Philly.
And again, it's not a bigger deal. Losing Reed Blankenship is way worse.
Tush push staying is a bigger deal than
Jose Ruiz. A big-time player getting hurt.
No, it's a bigger deal than Jose Ruiz.
I think you're... Honestly, I
think Kepler?
No, that's crazy. He's a starting.
I'd rather have the tush push than Kepler.
I would not give up any starting player for
tush push.
I'd give
you up.
Ruben, does that make me a bad guy? I'd rather have the tush push than Max Kepler. I'm trying to quantify it.
Does it make you a bad guy? Isn't that a given? Isn't that a given?
Like this. Across sports, we're quantifying.
I mean, I didn't say Bryce Harper or Saquon Barkley. I'm trying to get context of what level of win. I think it was a major win. I really believe that.
It was a major win. It doesn't garner two or three extra wins
by the way,
it's a major change in the way we approach playing football.
Absolutely.
Because we are going to look like we're going to look at every series like we got four downs every time. It's not three and punt.
I hear you.
It's four downs. Yeah. And that is a huge advantage.
It is.
We actually use that advantage.
They do.
And that revolutionizes the way offensive football works.
And by the way, just tremendous job by Lorin Kelce. I don't even know how to quantify that other than, I guess, saying this. Lurie, who was already on a level with Ed Snyder, best owners the last 50 years in Philly sports, like, just lock it in, okay? To me, Lurie's almost become a legend. And then you get to Kelce, who became a legend during the parade speech in 2017. That's when he became a legend. He was already a great player. He established that in 2017. You could see it. He helped him win a Super Bowl. He became a legend February, whatever it was, 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever the parade day was, 2018. That was when he became a legend. But for Jason to join his owner in retirement.
As well-respected as Kelce is. Right?
Yeah.
And busy. I mean, Kelsey's a busy guy, and he hopped on a flight to Minnesota.
Cares.
Yeah, that's the point.
And
you know?
Here's the other thing, and we may never know, but I think it is entirely likely that the passionate speech from Lurie, which reportedly lasted an hour, and the Kelce shorter speech when he got right to the heart of the matter regarding the injury situation
and the lies about
his
why
retirement.
He retired.
Like, I think when you win a vote by two votes, I think it is really possible votes were swayed in that room in that hour.
Sure.
And that might have been the difference. I really mean that, man. That's great job by both of them.
Well, you know, it's because of what Jerry Jones said. I was shocked because Jerry normally does it. When he said, listen, are we doing it for this? Or we
let's play it. We got the audio. So Jerry Jones probably should not have said this. As a sports fan, I appreciate that there was honesty. But after the vote, this was after the vote, right?
Yeah, and after he had voted against it.
Yeah, he voted against it.
Yeah, so like he has already voted against it.
Right. All right, listen to Jerry. Here's Jerry Jones yesterday with his thinking about the vote.
And here we are, the world champion. is the main focus of the tush push. And here we are debating it and having to decide, well, am I really against the tush push or just don't want Philadelphia to have eggs? And I sit there and fight that too and smile when they're making presentation.
Which one is that for you?
I don't know. I flip-flop.
I mean,
I appreciate the honesty.
It's real honesty right there. He is putting himself out there.
Let's see, the difference between he and a guy like David Montgomery, who's involved in a lot of this stuff when we were talking labor, is that David didn't really necessarily push hard for something that would directly help the Phillies. He did things that were directly help the game of baseball. He was all about that.
The Braves entering the division killed the Phillies in the late 90s. And he was part of signing off on that.
It was the right thing to do for baseball.
No, I mean, I'm surprised.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big Q. Taco to go. Taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big Q. This deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco to go. Taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99 to go.
Supporting your point. Yeah, I mean, it drove me nuts.
And you know, we had discussions about it, but we had a lot of discussion about a lot of different things in the game. But
right. But
David felt, you know, for the greater good, and that's why I respected him so much.
So here's one thing I'll say: if this comes back around next year as another vote, and it may, we'll say, if I'm Lori, I'm walking into the room next year with that audio of Jerry Jones. And I'm looking at the other 30
it's
owners.
A great point, Joe.
I'm looking at the other 30 owners and the commissioner saying, you're going to allow this play to go for that reason?
Like, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. Jerry Jones shouldn't be allowed to vote next time.
For Jerry's
honestly.
Sake.
No, for real.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Like, you can't say that and think that and then have high moral
eyebrows. I doubt the rest of his
organization
is pleased with a lot of the things that Jerry does of late.
Yeah. I agree with that, John.
It feels like the entire organization really is succumbing to the whims of this man who should not be making decisions any longer.
That was wild.
Creating a lot of messes, I think, for the people.
And I enjoyed
it immensely.
Wild.
Helps us. Got no issue with it at all.
All right, let's get to Nick in Bucks County. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, morning team. How are you guys today?
Doing great, Nick.
All right. So I want to talk about perseverance. That's one of my favorite human characteristics or traits. And the Eagles have shown so much perseverance. I myself was a medic in the Army. In 2006, came home from Iraq and really struggled mightily. Didn't
God
look like
bless
I was going to make it at different times. And then got through PTSD and found out I had cancer from my burn pit exposure. Mm. Made it through that and then met my wife and now have a beautiful family and I'm a chiropractor. Everything's good, but
good.
Perseverance is it, man. And the Eagles have shown and Nick Sirianni has shown so much perseverance that just makes me connect with the team so much more.
Listen, I agree with you 1,000,000%, Nick. First off, obviously, we say thank you for your service. And God bless you for what you've been through. And it sounds like you've come through on the other end. And that's fantastic. You know, I was talking to Merrill Reese last night. He was here at this great event we had with so many of our clients and so many of the WIP talk show hosts and personalities. And Merrill said that he had recently given a commencement address. I believe it was at Temple. And what you just touched on was the central theme of his address, because he's, I forget if you said persistence or perseverance, they're very similar concepts. It was one of those two words, and he talked about how he wanted the kids to know, basically, like, you're going to get knocked down, and it is, he didn't use that word, but you get the, you know, it's about how you move through the struggles, because it is, I mean, and you're right, Nick, to point out Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Howie Roseman. I mean, go back to when that guy was fired without being fired, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, he was sent to Siberia, you know? Yeah. I mean,
he got better.
I mean, Ruben, they took away the man's office.
And then he got better.
Way better.
He worked at it, and he dedicated himself to being better.
You know what it
look
is?
Look where he is now.
It's Rocky IV, man. It's Rocky IV, Siberia.
It's incredible.
Rocky, that closet or whatever it was that he was sent to.
It's so interesting that Lurie just sort of parked him aside. He knew that he had value. He knew that he was an intelligent guy. So that was a smart thing for Lurie to do, to not jettison him. Because one, I mean, Howie could have gone to another organization and been doing this.
Probably would have.
The Giants or the Jets or whomever.
100%. Right? And Ruben, I'll tell you something about his mindset when he came back. Because I'm buddies with someone that knows Howie. and told me this sentence that Howie said to my buddy when he reemerged. When you come back from the dead, you have no fear. And
makes a lot of sense.
It just felt like he was driven by this aggressive go to the nth degree. I mean, it all started with the trade, if you remember, with the Carson trade in 2016 to go from, what was it, James, 15?
It was 13-8-1. Or to two. 13-8-2.
Like, that was crazy, because that's rare.
You never see the hopscotch, yeah. You know, the multiple jumps.
And look,
he
had his 2020, and 2020, part of it was 2019 and 2018. He had some bad picks in there.
And look, the pandemic did happen.
Carson killed him, and the
cap, for the first time ever, didn't go up.
Like, and it went down.
It went down.
20 million,
so it's like,
I think.
And look, that's, you know, that's part of the strategy, yeah. And you got caught. But, like, it's also hard to plan for a pandemic.
Right. But, Nick, your point about perseverance or persistence, whichever you said, it's so true, man. It's so true.
It's near and dear to me, and something that I can now speak to or attest to in my life. And my next point is a Phillies point. I have a question for Rube. Ruben, thank you for giving me my first World Series experience. I appreciate you putting all that together. That was an incredible journey that we were on back in the day. But now
that was Pat Gillick, but I was helping him.
Yes, you were there. You were making moves. So I want to know, moving forward with the Phillies having the success that they are, but losing Alvarado, what are you willing to give up for somebody like Mason Miller and Oakland?
Great question.
What kind of package would you put together?
Well, I think they've sort of built a little bit more depth when you see guys like McAble come to the big leagues and really help them. I don't. I'd have to look at all of the factors here, how much time they have with a guy like Miller. Is it a 1 year, 2 year? I think he's 2 years of...
He's controlled through 2028.
2028. So that's four postseasons.
You're going to have to give up a lot for a guy like that. You're going to have to give up a McAble or an Aiden Miller.
Oh, more
or
than that. Yeah,
like
Miller,
that.
Aiden
or,
Miller.
Or a combination of that. And I think that they may very well have the depth to be able to do something like that, but I'm not sure if the A's are going to want to do that. They think that they've got a pretty good team, and if they've got four, you know, years of control over the guy, I mean, they're going to come on too. They have to play in Vegas sometime soon, so it will be an interesting process here, because there's so many teams that need bullpen help. So many that will make a difference, and so we'll see what happens.
Nick, tremendous phone call, man. Give me a great answer for the Phillies tickets. A great plot twist in a movie or show.
Yes, sir. Perseverance is everything. I had Usual Suspects, but then that was just taken. So the movie that stopped me from ever becoming an altar boy when I was in high school, Primal Fear. Thank God for that.
That's
movie.
A great plot twist. Good answer.
It's a really good answer. It is. Edward Norton, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Richard Gere. Primal
really,
Fear.
Really, really good.
Outstanding.
Good movie.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, as we broadcast on this Thursday morning from the Tasty Cake Studio. Wonderful to have you with us. Let's listen to Jeremy Fowler. He commented yesterday on ESPN after, you know, I say the Eagles won the vote because the Eagles won the vote. I mean, you know, we could say like it got shut down or Eagles won the vote. How they won the vote, Jeremy Fowler sheds some light on some of how it came together. Let's listen to what he said.
There was an element of surprise walking out of this building. In fact, some Eagles people were surprised. They walked out thinking that they didn't know what was going to happen. They could go either way, truly, and it was that close. But, you know, talking to some owners here in the building, the Eagles did a good job of potentially swaying some teams that could have been on the fence. I talked to Steelers president Art Rooney II, who said that Jason Kelce and his presence, him explaining the tush-push play, why it's effective, why it's not really an injury risk at all, could have swayed some teams. And so the Eagles came full frontal with a plan. Owner Jeffrey Lurie gave an impassioned speech to the crowd, basically saying, look, to be proficient at something only for it to be taken away would be unfortunate.
So, Ruben, you've been part of these types of experiences.
Yep.
Gut feeling from your experience in baseball. In a situation like that, do you think all 32 owners walked into the room yesterday knowing for sure how they would vote? Or do you think there were some, 2, 5, 10 teams that actually didn't know, wanted to hear what was said, and would make their determination based on what was said in the room?
I think everybody was locked in.
32 for 32.
I really do think so. I mean, I do believe that Lurie and Kelce, what they did was important. But I'm pretty sure that 32 of them were already decided as to what they were going to do.
Look,
they had a lot to think about for
a long time. You would know more than me, perspective, but I will just tell you, my gut feeling is that some guys got moved off their vote.
I hope they did. And more kudos to Lurie and to Kelce on that.
But I mean, if they did,
it's hard to think that they it's hard to think that they were swayed, because I mean, these are, I'm sure, very prideful, very, you know, intelligent folks who have been through a lot of things in their other businesses, and I got to believe they walked in there with pretty much an idea exactly where they wanted to go.
All right, so let's also give the Phils some love. Eagles with a big win yesterday. Phils win not as big, but excellent that they're playing so well. Six in a row. I mean, after that 6-week shaky stretch, they're on fire. They've got the best record in the National League. They've had the best record in the National League now for, you know, a couple days. Let's go through some of the game last night. Obviously, it was one of those later games. Some people don't watch as much when it's an at Colorado game. It started early for the Phils, as has been happening a lot in this series. Phils scoring early. So two on right away, Trey and Bryce. And then credit to Rob Thompson. He dials up that double steal thing again. They keep doing this, and very successfully this year. And ultimately, it led to two runs, including one in the moment.
Here's Castellanos. The runners are going. The pitch is down and in. The throw by the catcher goes into left field. Turner gets up. He's headed for the plate. Harper heads to third. It's 1-0 Phillies.
You know, Ruben, I made the comment earlier, because of the nature of how the inning played out, and it may have been different, but because Castellanos follows that up with a sac fly to left, it is possible, and I'd say even likely, that without the double steal, they walk away with zero runs. But because you double steal, get one run that play, Harper goes all the way first to third on the double steal. You get the sac fly, you get two runs.
Pretty exciting that this team can do a lot of different things to score runs. They can run at the top of the lineup, Bryson Stott, Trey Turner. You know, you even get some stolen bases from the bottom of the lineup. Right. With a guy like Johan Rojas from time to time. I love that they have power, they have speed, they have so many ways to get it done. They are now, you know, not striking out as much. Right. They have better situational at-bats. They're doing the right things. They're not playing a great team. I get it. Sure. They haven't been playing great teams, but you got to beat them anyway. Yeah. They're on the schedule. They're major league teams, and you have to beat them, and they're getting it done.
Is this the worst team that you've seen in recent memory, though? This Rockies
I thought the
team.
White Sox team was the worst team I saw last year. That was the worst.
These are worse. They're worse. The Rockies are worse.
This team might be worse.
They're worse. It's crazy.
And it's sad because it is a franchise that should be better. Those fans come. They're not a ton of fans, but their fans that still come to that ballpark. It's a great spot, great venue, and my goodness, it's
8-41. They're it's 8-41. Think about that. They're on pace for like 20-something wins.
Can we just for a moment just remember?
They're 22.5 games behind.
For those that forget this, just remember there was a season in the last 10 to 12 years in which the Sixers start at 1-30.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure people.
Right. Who was the owner for that?
She's starting early. She's already buttering up the judges.
They were 1-30.
That is an embarrassment.
And that's when they then traded for that guard. I forgot who it was that previously had been here. They gave up 2 second-round picks. Because
was it Ish Smith?
Ish Smith. Ish. What I was told was when they were 1-30, and I think they might have tried to form at 1-26 or something like that. But when it got to around that range, they realized, like, we knew we were tanking. We knew we were going to be horrendous. We didn't know it was going to actually be this bad. Like, we better add somebody.
Just strong leadership.
You almost
from the
have
top
to try to be. You almost have to try to be that.
They did try.
Can you believe that? All right. Let me get some more from the Phils. So you got a 2-0 lead. Taiwan gives up two. Yeah, so here we go. 2-2. Top of the third. Trey Turner has been playing great lately. Did more last night.
He was playing here all those times, he'd have a bunch more hits.
Right.
Here's a swing and a high fly ball. Deep left field. Beck is back at the track, at the wall. He's out of room. And Trey Turner goes deep to left. His third home run of the season. And just like that, the Phillies are back in front. It's 3-2.
Well, just an excellent job. And again, to Ruben's point and James's point, the other team stinks. But Phillies are taking care of business. I mean, things that followed. Bryce Homer followed, a JT double. That's kind of when you knew the game was over. JT double, you're up 6-2. Boom, 7-2, another JT hit. This one a homer later, 9-3 or whatever the hell it was. Great job by the Phillies in recent weeks. Best record in the National League. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Oh, not on the topic of really anything other than, so I was shocked to the point of jaw-dropping by two things yesterday. One was the outcome of the vote on the Tush Push. The other was I was watching last night, and I saw a television commercial for Skechers Basketball with Joel Embiid.
Wow.
And to me, it was like a kick in the teeth to watch Joel Embiid out there advertising for Skechers basketball sneakers. And he's dunking and all that stuff. And might be the last time we see Joel Embiid play basketball. I was stunned. I didn't even know that commercial existed. I would be really intrigued to kind of know what kind of went on behind the scenes and what kind of, you know, elbow nudge, wink and a nod, you know, when you've got something coming before the committee next year that Jeffrey Lurie did yesterday to, because I don't think there's any question that he swayed at least a couple of people.
Well, I don't know. It's impossible to know. I tend to think you're right. I tend to think, but look, Ruben's been in these situations and he thinks otherwise. So not sure.
I have a hard time believing that it was locked in at 22-10. You know, especially when you consider that the commissioner did everything he could possibly do,
yep,
short of just publicly coming out and saying, I hate this lay, which he kind of did, to make it happen. I mean, even after, I guess the reports were that after Mr. Lurie and Jason Kelsey spoke, they went into like a private super secret double probation session with just the owners in the room, where I guess Roger Goodell was going to try and make his last impassioned plea to please bend this thing. So it's going to be interesting. I still think that this just puts a chip on the Eagles' shoulder next year, that they know now that there are 22 teams out there which basically think that they're cheating. Basically think that they have found an unfair advantage.
I don't know about that, because I'm not one of them. Like, I would have voted for it to go. I'm very excited it stayed, because I hope you can hear my voice. I truly believe it helps the Eagles, and I am genuinely, truly excited, because I think it helps them big time. But I would have voted to strike it down, and not because of cheating, because I don't think it looks like a football play, and all the reasons I've said yesterday, and all the reasons I've said for a couple of years now, frankly. But look, it fell the way it fell, and it's great for the Eagles.
Well, I read something this morning which hadn't really occurred to me, but when they changed that rule, because the proposal as it was rewritten was really just kind of going back to the pre-2005 rule.
Right.
The reason they changed that rule is because the officials had such a hard time adjudicating that rule down the field. Like, it was hard to tell, are they pushing the runner, are they pushing each other? Like, it was just hard to tell who's pushing who. And you know, obviously, when the proposal was written the way it was first written, it was clearly targeting the tush push and only the tush push, which looked like it was targeting the Eagles. So that's why they rewrote the proposal, I think, to go back to the...
Well, also, I think they realized it was nonsensical to be talking about injuries and pace of play. That wasn't the heart of the matter. And it wasn't even the non-heart of the matter. The only thing it was about was, should the offensive player be allowed to push another offensive player? That's it. That's all it was. And they determined, yes, the player's still allowed to. All right, Ken, I got to move. Give me an answer for a big-time plot twist in a movie or show.
Well, I mean, one of the ultimate originals, The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I think so.
Give me the plot twist. I just want to...
The wizard being...
Hold on, Ken.
Well,
Ken,
the whole thing is a dream, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out, which one you're saying.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm giving you. So the dream thing. Okay.
I thought The Wizard would be a better answer.
I figured it could be either, and that's
no,
why.
No, good call by you. I think that's the wrong choice.
Okay. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, we got a lot happening here. More tush push related audio, things that were said after the vote yesterday, including something Lewis Riddick said, something Ray Dittinger said, phone calls on...
You know, Lewis was my former teammate.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware.
He's a smart guy.
Very smart guy. Might be a GM someday. Jared Should Cameron be, and John yes. Ritchie. Ruben with us as well. More in the fills up ahead, too, on 94 WIP.
Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 taco. This deal legit. Taco, taco, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.